بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. عن أنس بن سيرين، عن أنس، from أنس بن سيرين، he said استقبلنا أنسا حين قدم من الشام فلقيناه في عين التمر، فرأيته يصلي على حمار ووجهه من ذا الجانب، يعني عن يسار القبلة، فقلت رأيتك تصلي لغير القبلة، فقال لولا أني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يفعله ما فعلته. Narrated Anas bin Sirin. Anas bin Sirin. He said, we went to receive Anas bin Malik when he returned from Ash-Sham, the greater Syria area, and met him at a place called Ayn al-Tamr. I saw him praying, riding the donkey. I saw him praying, riding the donkey, with his face to this direction, meaning to the left of the Qibla. And he pointed to this direction, pointing, i.e. to the left of the Qibla. I said to him, I have seen you offering the prayer in a direction other than that of the Qibla. He replied, if I had not seen Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing it, I would not have done it. Now, the narrator is Anas bin Sirin. Anas bin Sirin is the brother of Muhammad bin Sirin. Make note. Rahimahumullah. Anas bin Sirin is the brother of Muhammad bin Sirin. Rahimahumullah. And it is said that when he was born, he was taken to Anas bin Malik. May Allah be pleased with him. And he gave him his name, Anas. And he gave him his kunya, Abi Hamza. قال الحافظ رحمه الله في التقريب ثقة من الثالثة. That the narrator Anas bin Sirin is trustworthy from the third level of the Tabi'in. And he died in the year 118 or 120 after Hijrah. This is Anas bin Sirin. Anas bin Sirin. So in the narration, in the translation of the meaning, they said they have narrated Anas bin Sirin, and they said radiyallahu anhu. Someone may think that he is a companion. The subject matter of the hadith. The subject matter of the hadith, explaining the ruling of directing oneself to the Qibla in travel, if the Salah is Nafil, if the Salah is Nafil, meaning if it is optional. Here he said, in terms of some wording of the hadith, he said, we went to receive. From where did they go? They went from Al-Basra. Al-Basra, south of Iraq. And Anas bin Malik came across his biography when we discussed Hadith 11 of Umdat al-Ahkam. So we went to receive Anas when he returned from Ash-Sham. So Anas left Al-Basra to Ash-Sham in the year 92 after Hijrah. Why did he go to Ash-Sham? He went to complain concerning Al-Hajjaj bin Yusuf, the ruler of Iraq. He went to complain to Al-Khalifa then, who was in Ash-Sham in Damascus. Al-Khalifa then was Al-Walid bin Abdul Malik. He went to complain concerning the, you know, the Hajjaj and his known oppressions and tyranny. So upon his return, to Al-Basra. He was met by, you know, the people who went to receive him. Amongst them is Muhammad bin Sirin. And they met at this place, which is known as Ain al-Tamr. And this is a place on the way to Iraq from the side of Ash-Sham, leaving Ash-Sham towards Iraq. This is a spot on the way. And so he told him, Ra'aytuka tusalli, I saw you praying. And this salah is the optional salah. And the purpose of this statement is to clarify as to why Anas bin Malik was doing this. The overall explanation. Anas bin Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, when he lived in Al-Basra, and he suffered from Al-Hajjaj what he suffered, he went to Ash-Sham, to the greater Syria, in order to complain and raise the issue of Al-Hajjaj to the Khalifa, Al-Walid bin Abdul Malik. Then he returned to Al-Basra, saw his companions, received him, and from them was Anas bin Sirin. Anas bin Sirin. So Anas bin Sirin, he saw him praying to other than the direction of the Qibla, having the Qibla to his right. And he said, I saw you praying in a direction other than that of the Qibla. Meaning he wanted an explanation, particularly an evidence for his doing. For whom? For Anas bin Malik's doing. So Anas bin Malik said that if I had not seen Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing it, I would not have done it. Now, this is the overall explanation of the hadith. The benefits of the hadith. First, that receiving the one who comes from trouble is from the action of the Salaf. You understand? Yani, receiving those who are on a status of ilm and the status of amar. This is from the action of the Salaf, rahimahumullah. And from this we conclude it is not detested to go to the airport to, for example, receive a leader or someone of authority or the like, because this is from the doing of the Salaf, rahimahumullah. Is that clear? Clear? No. So this is a good benefit. No. The second benefit is the permissibility to pray mounting a donkey. Right? Permissibility to pray while mounting a donkey. What can we deduce from this? Question to you. What can be deduced from this benefit? The permissibility to pray on the donkey. Yeah, the donkey is the pure naam. From the conditions of salah, of validity of salah, is taharatul buqa, the purity of the place, right? Right? Yes, modern day transportation, everything is included, yes. Ships, cars, planes, we mentioned that. But this is an important benefit concerning the donkey as well. Because you may end up being in a place where there are no planes, no trains, no nothing except a donkey. So you're going to ride the donkey. Tayyib. The third condition is that it is not conditional to try to direct oneself to the Qibla on a journey, on travel, if the Salah is Nafil. If the Salah is Nafil. Is that clear? So this means your qibla is the direction of your travel. Understand? The qibla is the direction of your travel. And this is what we learned from the previous hadith, remember? From the previous hadith last week, right? From hadith 66. Now, how do we take it from this hadith? Look at the hadith now. This benefit, how it is deducted from this hadith? Yalla. Let's see, inshallah, how it is deducted from this hadith. No. Before that. Yes, I have seen you offering the prayer direction other than the qibla, and he pointed, right? He pointed to the left of the qibla. You see that? He pointed. You see that? Now, before that, that's the issue. That's the point. That's the point of evidence here. This is affirmed, because he related this to the Prophet ﷺ. So now, there's approval. Exactly. From this also, we conclude another benefit, that the actions of the Prophet ﷺ are evidence. You understand? Clear? Yani hujjah. The actions of the Prophet ﷺ are hujjah. Evidence. Clear? Where is this taken from? Where is this taken from? From the hadith. He replied, if I hadn't seen Allah's Messenger ﷺ doing it, I would not have done it. Now, exactly. Tayyib. Now, concerning the actions of the Prophet ﷺ in origin, it is general for the Ummah. It is general for the Ummah. And in origin, there is no particularization to him as long as there is no proof to indicate as such. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Verily, in the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you had a good example. Yeah. The next benefit, the good etiquette and the good manner of Ibn Sirin in his way of putting the question to Anas. Where is this? Where is this in the hadith? This is a good etiquette and good manner. Where is that in the hadith? He inquired. Yes, exactly. He was inquiring. I saw you. I have seen you. You see that? You see this? I have seen you offering, inquiring. You see that? And this is an important matter to us to learn from, whether in circles of knowledge or in when dealing with the people of knowledge, and especially the scholars. The next benefit, the keenness of the Salaf rahimahumullah concerning knowledge. Where is this taken from? The keenness of the Salaf rahimahumullah concerning knowledge. Yes, when he was asking clarification, he was concerned. Because he was concerned that Anas may have knowledge, right? Exactly. That's right. And asking the scholar to inquire, Naam, has two benefits. So that the person may benefit from the knowledge. Or in his inquiry, he may also benefit the scholar. How? it may be a reminder to the scholar if he was forgetting something, or a reminder for the scholar to remind those who are present. Is that clear? You see this? Now, another thing. In the situation of proof and evidence, it is in cases we know that the evidence cited is such that there can be no debate concerning it. And the scholar provides the evidence, like in this case, very decisive proof, no debate, no nothing can be said about it. In other cases, we find the scholar citing the consensus, yet there is an evidence available in the book and or the sunnah. This happens. And this could be due to the following reasons. This is a very important benefit. Sometimes you hear the scholar saying this is the consensus, while you know that there is a proof. It could be due to the following reasons. First, either for brevity, to be brief. You understand? Right. Second, in order to be decisive and there can be no dispute. Why? Because in some situations, there can be some dispute concerning the evidence, either in terms of its affirmation or in what it denotes. So he resorts to the ijma', to the consensus, and in this way it will be a decisive way so as to clear any kind of dispute. And it may be also that the one who mentions the ijma', the consensus, is it due to the fact that he is not at this stage when he is referring to the matter, is not fully in comprehension of all the evidences, or does not remember them all together, and he knows that it is a unanimous matter, and so he makes mention of it, and that is sufficient. Now, the next benefit, the seeker of knowledge should seek the evidence and the dalil, because the ilm, knowledge, is knowing the guidance with its evidences. This concludes the benefits of this hadith. Wallahu ta'ala a'la wa a'lam, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira.